As Jim was ministering, I had no idea. I hadn't had any thought to rehearse any of so much of my chronology coming up to this point in time as far as where I'm at. As I've told you, I'm a pastor. Most of you know me. Many of you are accustomed to listening to some of our services, watching our services. But 23 years ago, 1997, I was sitting in a service just like this in March. It was March that year. We were having the March conferences. And I didn't know what a Dave Roberson even looked like. He would actually come to, I lived in Fort Myers at the time. We had, Candy and I had a very, very nice home. And just across the street or down the road, there was another church. I won't mention the name, but there was a pastor there that would have Dave in. And he would come and speak, and he would be right there, and I never went across the street, never knew anything about him, although, you know, the marquee may say Dave Roberson, but I didn't know who Dave Roberson was or what he looked like. I didn't, as Jim said, I don't think there was even a picture at the time when I came in March of 97. Somebody had paid our way to come out here, and Candy and I came out, and I was sitting, I believe, over in that section, and I was worshiping. I was going through an incredible impasse, knew the Lord, had gone through Bible college, graduated, was serving as a lay pastor at a very, very large church, an Assembly of God church in Fort Myers. And so I was going through an impasse trying to figure out. I knew that I was called to full-time ministry and pastoring a church. We'd started the church in Immokalee. The impasse was that I had a large business and I had a large house, and I wanted to somehow find my way out of both of them to get to the place where I could serve the Lord full-time. I was praying, and I went to my room one day, and I was looking out this big window, picture window, and I said, Lord, I know you're doing something in the earth beyond where I'm at. Show me, teach me, guide me to the path to what you want to do for the end time harvest. And within just a few weeks, a lady in our church began to give me Dave Roberson. It was tapes at that time, cassette tapes. Long story short is that lady helped get us out here. She came with us. I was sitting over in that section that day, and I was saying, Lord, you know, I've been through Bible college. I'm hungry for you. I had a large construction business. And as Jim testified, at some point in the service, the worship was wonderful, but at some point in the service, I noticed that there was an anointing that began to envelop the house. And wherever he slipped in at it, Pastor Dave and Jim testified, if you weren't here in the first service, about his experience and how that there was something that happened that day just through the anointing that was on Pastor Dave. And I was sitting there, and as he took his place on the platform, however he meandered up there, and as he took his place on the platform, I didn't even know. I thought to myself, I said, I don't know if that's Dave Roberson, but whoever that guy is, I want what he's got. He's got something. There was a peace. There was a peace upon him. There was a life upon him. And as he began to speak, then I recognized his voice. From that point on, I died. I really did. It crushed me that day. The people that were with us and Candy, they left that day. And I said, I got to stay. I got to stay here. I got over in that section over there and began 23 years ago. It's just as real. I began to walk the line and say, God, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how do I take all these men that I've got in this construction business? How do I get out of these contracts? How do I sell this house? The house wouldn't sell. The real estate market was down, although it was a very nice house. And the Lord began to speak to me, and the Lord said, if you'll go back and pray in tongues for so many hours a day, and if you'll fast every quarter, certain amount of days, he said, I will deliver you. Again, the short of a long story is that after 3 months of doing deliberately, on purpose, what he told me to do, come get my men started. We were building big condominiums, doing a lot of things. And I would drive back home, walk in my bedroom, sit there, and begin to pray in the Spirit. After a few months, the Lord, it was like if you said you, it was a, you know, pastor, that was admirable what you did, I'd have to say, no, it wasn't me. It was an incredible grace that came. It just settled upon me after 3 months. The Lord enabled me to just have a Peter and John experience. Just, you know, when he said, follow me, and they laid down their nets and their fishing businesses and their franchises, and they just left and they walked away. The Lord enabled me to give that business away to someone. They took my contracts, they took my equipment, my trucks, whatever, and to also walk out and to give our house away to someone as well. And they took over the payments as well, and we left a lot of equity in that. But I'll tell you what, I have never been on a more purposefully given path ever in my life since the day I started this path. Hallelujah, 23 years ago. And I gotta kind of brag with my constituency there, as far as my fellow brother. 23 years, I haven't missed a conference either. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? That's all to the grace of God, or a year coming out. So all the glory to God. And I am so glad that you are here. Hallelujah. So glad that you're here, because God has a destiny for all of us. Would you just bow with me again in a word of prayer? Father, I love you so much. Not only do I have an assignment, but every single person sitting here this morning has an incredible assignment that you have given each one of us from the foundation of the world. Father, I thank you that we are in a place where there is true destiny. That's not just a word spoken, but it's a truth. And I pray that, Lord, that you will help us to hear these things as you gave them to me. And Father, and help me to speak them as you would have them. So in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So a little history on the path that the Lord gave me. I wrote this lesson over the last couple days, not before I got here, but, and this is more of, I'm just going to read and you can follow along in the word whenever you can get to it. But for the sake of time, I'm going to read the scripture to you and as the Lord speaks. But I wrote this lesson, and I knew it was in the sense of the prophetic on my spirit, and he was speaking directly a word that he wants you to understand. It's a word to you, and it's a word for all of us. So I want you, every single word that you're going to receive this word is this week is something prophetic, in the sense as God has you here in that sense of destiny and purpose and change for your life. That one that we just listened to a half hour ago was perfect, and everything that God was laying out as part of our foundation. But I would like to, I'm just going to read this as the Lord gave me. I would like to call this, or help call, because it's already began, this sacred assembly together by reminding us of who we are and who we belong to. Let me remind you that what the Spirit is already telling you by a witness, that you're here by design. You're here by design. You're not here by accident. You're here by purpose, and you're here by destiny. To those that will watch this in the days ahead, these services, and listen to these services, or watch them according, you're watching them according to divine purpose, even when they're coming to you pre-recorded, they're live in the sense that there's life in them. There's very life in them. So they're pre-recorded. You may hear them later, but the very moment that you hear them, you're hearing them according to the destiny of God. His purpose is in your life. Now, Alan's been teaching over the last several months. It's been really good on Hebrews. We've been following along on that. That's really, really been wonderful. This particular scripture I'm reading right here, right now, is more of a positional truth of the transition that took place with us when we were born again. But let me read this in the context of us gathering together here this week for this purpose. The Hebrew writer says, but you're come to Mount Zion. This is Hebrews 12:22, by the way. You can follow or write these down. But we are come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, an innumerable company of angels, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to the God of judge, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Folks, there's an assembly here this week of the newborn children of God with a purpose that we're going to hear this week, that it's going to be something that God is going to help launch us into our future. And I'm telling you that he wants us to know this morning, along with everything else, that he's speaking. Because if you're checking your spirit, you're knowing that it's not just a cliche. It's not just somebody trying to encourage you. But way down deep inside, you know that everything it took for you to get here, it was all still part of the divine purpose inside of you to fight past those places. Get past those obstacles, because you're hearing this morning with your spiritual ear. And whatever arguments have tried to come against your mind, whatever arguments have tried to come against your life, whatever arguments have tried to dilute the pristine of the vision that God has ever given to you, those arguments are being brought down this week through the power of his Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. He wants us to know exactly what our vision is and where we're headed. And I'm telling you, we are a people of purpose. We are a people of vision. Immokalee is in revival. Dayton is in revival. Tulsa is in revival. We are going to receive this revival in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. John recorded the words of Jesus, and he had the revelation. He said this in Revelation chapter 1. Verse 4, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits, he said, which are before the throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, the prince of kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Verse 6 says this, and hath, present tense, made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they which have pierced him also pierced him. And all kindred of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. He has declared there once that we are kings and priests. Not at some point in the future, in the millennial. We are present tense with all of our fallacies being worked out, with everything that we need to grow in spiritually and on the outward limbs of the soul, with everything that's changing in the midst of all that, he has present tense called us kings and priests. Hallelujah. Why don't you just turn to somebody and say, hello there, king, and hello there, priest. Hallelujah. John reminds us again by the Holy Spirit. He wasn't done with that. He reminds us again in his vision of who we are. Same thing said again a different way in chapter 5, verse 9 of Revelation. He said, and they sang a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood and out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And hast, past tense, has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Hallelujah. Wherever you traveled from or you were here, it's so good to meet you kings and priests. It really is. And again, I can't say enough that that is not just a cliche. The preciousness in that, the royalty in that, the esteem that we receive from our Father, for Him to declare us as such. It is, we can enjoy that in saying greet each other as a kings and priests, but unto God, He's very serious about that. In a good sense. His sobriety in that is so wonderful that He takes Himself, His word, to be true. We are kings and priests. As kings and priests, we have been placed in the earth to presently, not futuristically, but presently rule and reign with Christ. As kings, we are to speak into existence the expected end in all things according to His word. Hallelujah. We're the ones to speak into existence what His word says, the expected end. As kings, we are to speak into existence. As priests, we are intercessors to minister the prayers that will avail to the greatest spiritual harvest this planet has ever experienced. Hallelujah. I know that you realize this, and my job is not here to hype you up, but I'm telling you that there is a harvest coming such like the world has never seen. Joel's army will come to pass in the earth. And I say, why not us, and why not now? Matthew 24:14, He said, and this gospel, which gospel? The one that I've been showing, this gospel, not just in word only, but in power. And this gospel will be preached unto all nations, and then shall the end come. They ask Him the question, when is all this going to come down? And He said, this gospel that I preach, the one that you will, now it's circumventing, it's taken a long time, and it went through dark ages, and it went through, but somebody, Joel, looks through time, and he sees an army that rises up in the earth, and he says, and I'm not, we didn't go there, but I'm telling you and paraphrasing, he says, there was never an army. He wasn't talking just about the current conditions of Israel and Judah, but he said, there's an army that like has never been, nor will ever be before. The last day army will be the one that will not only receive the outpouring, but they will not fluctuate up and down. They will carry that power all the way to the end. Hallelujah. We're believing God with you to help build in you that stature in Christ that takes you all the way to the end. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We're to presently rule and reign with Him. As kings, we speak into existence the expected end in all things according to His word. As priests, we are the intercessors to minister those prayers. Again, as kings, Ecclesiastes, you don't have to turn there, but I will give you the reference, Ecclesiastes 8:4. For where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, what doest thou? The word of a king cannot be repudiated. In other words, it cannot be contradicted. The enemy and the flesh. Now listen, because I know that when he was writing this or he was giving this to me, I saw this in the spirit, in the fight that so many had had. The enemy and the flesh has no business in what we are conducting. Satan or the flesh has nothing to say in the outcome of our future events. Hallelujah. Has nothing to say. 1 Corinthians 2:14, you can reference this. And of course, this is talking contextually. It's talking more so of the natural man being the man that is not yet regenerated. But all of us know this. We know we have a flesh part of us that fights to repudiate what the Spirit is saying to us. But 1 Corinthians 2:14 says this, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. If our minds begin to try to think things through, and we'd say, okay, boy, this has been a long process. I thought the revival, was going to take place 2 years after I learned this path. I thought I was going to be totally changed, right? I thought revival is like, bam, like right now. Listen, He is growing us up in Christ. Thank God for the mechanism that causes change in our revelation through praying in other tongues. Thank God as the thing that changed me as a young man that come out of Bible college, and I'd sat in front of doctors that had all kinds of PhDs and talked the Hebrew and talked the Greek and talked all kinds, but they did not have the power in their life. There was a man named Dave Roberson that stood up here and said, just because you want to, just because you want to, you can deliberately, on purpose, change your destiny just because you want to. And I thought, my God, I've been praying, and you know, I've had praying, and I knew about praying in tongues. I've been praying in tongues ever since I was a little kid growing up in a Pentecostal church. But you mean deliberately I can change my future? Listen, all of this has not been for naught. There is, I think you just reach over and grab some flesh next to you if it's okay with the person. Just ask them, can I touch you? Just say, oh, I'm going to serve with you in this revival. Hallelujah. This thing is real. It's coming. And it now is. I hope you're not one of those ones like, don't touch me, don't touch me. If you had somebody kind of scoot a little bit, reach over and grab them again. Or better yet, just put your arm around their neck or something. Oh, I just love you. The revival that you and I are scheduled to be a part of will happen just as the Lord has planned. Joel's army is wonderful. It's not that it takes away from the authority of the church. There will be authority because it says they will march in rank. But the amazing part, it says they will not pierce one another, those that are really part of that army. But if they are thrust through, in other words, if an attack comes against them, they will not be destroyed. They'll be healed. It's like immediately the growth process in which they have the stature of Christ in them will immediately heal them so that they're not detoured in following what their assignment is. What you say, he says. What you proclaim, he proclaims. Your future is in your mouth. The future of the end time army is in the authority of our mouth. Your future in health, prosperity, your future in prosperity, your future in the fulfillment of your spiritual call. Every one of you in here have, and everyone listening, have a call on your life that's just as important as any man that will stand up here and deliver the word of God this week. Every single one of you. It's precious to him. And that destiny and that call is in our mouth. We're to speak it. We're to believe it. Now, this he said, and this is not just my encouragement to you. I could encourage you. I could say these same words with encouragement. But I'm telling you, as I was writing these things down, the Lord was saying, I want them to receive it as if I'm speaking it directly to them. And if I can humble myself enough in front of you to say, please, please hear not my words, but his words to you. Because many of you have come here in a struggle. Many of you have come here against an argument that Satan has tried to contrive and build. But he wants to reach out and hug you. And in reaching out and hugging you and saying these words, I want you to receive these directly from the Lord. You've not failed. Now that sounds really simple, but he wants you to know you've not failed. He wants you to know this, that your window of opportunity has not come and gone. Because there's people here that's sitting here saying, well, I lost this 5 years here, I lost 2 years here, or I lost the last 6 months. But your window of opportunity has not come and gone. You're sitting here under divine destiny. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, thank you. Thank you. Your prophecy, another thing he wants you to know is your prophecy, your personal prophecy, whatever he said to you, either personally or through someone that is really validated as someone that could give you a word from the Lord. But primarily where he speaks to you in those inward parts of intimacy, your prophecy has not been voided. God already calculated your moments of weakness and temporary failures. Aren't you glad that he goes out it's been a little bit, maybe it's a rude way to say it, but he's smarter than we are dumb. He far outweighs our future. And he gives us wiggle room to change. For me, I've had to have a lot of wiggle room at times. He is the God that continues to reroute us past every roadblock to our purpose in the earth. Hallelujah. He's that divine, it's like the Lord is that divine GPS. He just reroutes us. We make this wrong turn. As long as you keep praying in tongues, eventually, I'll set something and on Google Maps, and Siri will come on there. And so now we just changed. Candy changed our voices the other day. Now we've got English speaking Siri's on there. You know, Candy's got this English guy that talks to her, and I've got this beautiful accented English lady that talks to me. And so if I'm going down the road, I know where I'm going, and I don't want to listen to her, but she'll say, I won't even try to do the accent, but she'll tell me to turn. But if I keep going, she doesn't call me stupid, but she'll just say, get in the next lane and turn around. And if I go past that, she'll start telling me, turn around. Get in the, whatever. God is continually trying to reroute our life. As long as you keep praying in tongues and reading his word, as Jim brought forth today, those two go absolutely hand in hand. God will reboot your life, reroute your life, and you're here because of that very purpose. You're good ground. By the way, you're good ground because you're here this morning. You're wonderful ground. The Lord of the vineyard is still the Lord of growth, process, progression, and change. Now, I'll read these verses to you, very familiar to you, but you could turn there if you're quick enough. But Mark chapter 4, verse 8, and it says this, Another fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up. And increased and brought forth some 30 and some 60 and some 100. A little bit later in the same chapter, he says this. And he said, so is the kingdom of God. As if a man should cast seed in the ground and should sleep, rise night and day, and the seed should spring up or grow up. Everybody say grow up. Praise God. I thank God that God is growing us up through that seed. And he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. That was Brother Wigglesworth's, some of his greatest go-to scripture. On how do you get these things done? How is it in your life? Last verse. And then he said... Mark said, but when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth forth a sickle because the harvest has come. Back to Smith Wigglesworth. He said, it's easy in this sense. It's the blade, the ear, and then the full corn in the ear. It's the progression of going forward. It's the progression of the word growing up inside of you. Hallelujah. But I want you to know this morning something that you already know. Because you are here, you are, because I didn't even go into those other grounds. You are good ground. Again, because we're very active in this service, turn to somebody and say, you're good ground. You're good ground. Now listen to this. This is Colossians 2:18. And I'll give a more contextual kind of rendition of it in just a moment. But it says in Colossians 2:18, it says this. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility. He lists here worshiping of angels and intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up in his fleshly mind. In other words, he contrived something and then taught it to be truth. He says that contriving or that rendition of fleshly mind is not holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands having nourishment ministered and knit together. And he concludes in that verse saying, increases with the increase of God. In other words, let me read it again because I broke that up. Verse 19, Colossians 2:19. Those that he was speaking of that were beguiling, he said, not holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands having nourishment ministered and knit together increaseth with the increase of God. There, listen, folks, there is an increase that comes from God. And the more that we follow him, the more that we increase. And he said, don't let any man, don't let any teaching, don't let any path ever take you away from the increase that comes from God. Because there's an increase that comes from God. There is a path, a deliberate path that continues to cause you to walk into God. I said this, or I wrote this down. This is just part of just following along contextually here. A contextual note here is to observe that Paul was saying to the church at Colossae, don't let any man remove your reward by going back to the observance of the Old Testament holidays, nor any revelation, whether by angels or by man's own contrived revelation, that would take you away from the foundation that would increase you with the increase of God. Don't become voluntarily humble. There's a voluntary humility that takes you past truth. But here Paul says, there's an increase of God. Don't submit yourself to anything that takes away the truth from you. Can we all say amen? 2 Peter 1:16 says this, for we have not followed cunning fables or devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Peter there, just speaking on specifics of his testimony, he reassured the church that what he had been teaching them and what he had been showing them from the very beginning was not a fable. The word fable is the word muthos, which means something fictitious or something that has been a tale that's not the truth. Let me say this to you, read this to you, as he gave it to me. The foundation of prayer, change, and revival that has been delivered to us has not been built on man's doctrine, but upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets and Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. Hallelujah. Can you say amen?
Amen.
You're doing better on your amens, right? Don't make me come out there and get you now. Ephesians 2:19 and 20 says this, now therefore you're no strangers and foreigners, no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And you're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. The enemy of your soul may have come to mock you in regards to your destiny, in the purpose of your health, in the promise of your children being saved, in the promise of us as a family receiving the end time harvest. I don't have to go around the room here. I'll guarantee you this room is filled with people who are fighting something in your body, although you believe the scriptures. And the enemy wants to come and mock and say this doesn't work. and what you've been taught as confession, as praying in tongues, building yourself up. All this stuff really has just been the contriving of somebody's imagination, and it was just a following of a good man. I can tell you this, as Peter said, but I'm saying this prophetically to all of us, and I believe we're in agreement, what we have been taught has not been by man. The foundation has been by the Holy Spirit, by the Word of God, line on line, precept on precept. Isaiah 54:17 says this, for no weapon that is formed. Let me just stop. Everybody say this, say, but God.
But God.
Turn to your neighbor and say, but God.
But God.
In other words, the enemy may have been, you know, he fights us all on the argument of, are we going to receive this? Is my body going to hold up? Is my finances going to hold up? But God. That's a big but right there.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. No weapon. Isaiah 54:17. Help me get past that, Lord. Help me get past that one, Lord. Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. It does not say that he will condemn. It says thou shalt condemn through your authority. And their righteousness, he says, is of me, saith the Lord. In other words, it's not for you to wait for him to put into effect and make sure your blueprint. Because every one of us have a blueprint. For those of you that don't know, and I use that word, but I should explain for a moment. Your blueprint is a word that we affectionately use around here. Brother Tim will use it oftentimes in sharing what the blueprint of the church is, what the blueprint of you individually is. But it's all those things that the Lord has spoken to us collectively. Those prophecies, you'll read some of them this week. You'll enjoy them. But what he said to you personally about your destiny and about your call. And I'm telling you that blueprint, he wants me to tell you that blueprint or that call and that destiny is still on his heart and mind to be fulfilled. Hallelujah.
Glory.
Psalms, or Proverbs rather, 13:12 says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. The Lord desires that there are no sick hearts leave this conference this week, but rather that every desire is fulfilled through his promise inside of you. Hallelujah. Every promise is fulfilled. Listen, what you say, he says. You were healed physically even while the symptoms are screaming in your body. You are healed emotionally even while the depression and the lie of all those symptoms lurk just outside of the sphere where you live. Your finances, you might be in the red today, but your finances are changed because he's promised that no weapon formed against you, prophetically as you go into him, it will not prosper. It has to change as long as you will stay on the path. Let no man beguile you. Let no man pull out from underneath you a foundation that was delivered to you methodically by the Word of God and said the process of change is deliberate on purpose just because you want to. If you keep praying the mysteries and keep looking into the mirror of his word, you will change from glory to glory into the image that he's called every one of us to be in, and we're going to receive this outpouring. Hallelujah. We're going to receive it. I laugh because it almost seems, but it was the mind of the Lord. It seems like a hodgepodge of so many different encouraging scriptures and even those out of the Old Testament. Ezekiel 37, verse 3 says, and he said unto me, son of man, can these bones live? Yeah, that's exactly what he said. I don't know, Lord. Right now in my current, I'm not really sure, but he said, you know. That's a good answer. In other words, do you believe that your destiny can still be fulfilled? Do you still believe that revival can take place in Tulsa? Do you believe that everything that we said in 1997 still is true today? Do you believe against every argument, against everything that the enemy has thrown, everything that he can possibly... You know what? I remember what Dave used to say, and it was so wonderful, although it doesn't feel good. He said, it's just real simple. A revival's real, real simple. Real, real simple. All you have to do is take every single thing that the devil can throw at you to stop you and get past it. And if you can get past it, if you can be a group of people to get past it, you will receive the outpouring. That's simple in words. But do you believe, Son of Man, do you believe? Can these bones live? And he answered, and I answered, he said, this was Ezekiel's response, O Lord, thou knowest. And he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones and say unto them, O you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you will live. And I will lay sinew upon you, and I will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put a breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied. It just means he spoke. I spoke, or I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to bone, bone to his bone, rather. And when I beheld, lo, the sinew and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, and there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man. Say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied, and he commanded me, as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, and an exceeding great army. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen. Again, this week, sinew, flesh, meat is not only are the bones. I'm not saying we were dead. I'm not saying you're dead. But I'm saying the resurrection of the fullness of what your blueprint and your call and whatever struggle it took for you to be here, even if you live 2 minutes, you know, away from the church, every argument is answered by one word. We will live. We will not die. We will not only survive, we will actually be this end time army that will help take the planet along with others that are hearing this same voice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord is asking us to believe him that our prophecies will be fulfilled. We have to speak again to the many prophecies lying dormant in our life. So what about your blueprint? Well, I know, and I'm not demeaning that, the fight. I know it's there. Man, some of the greatest heroes in my life are some of my comrades that are preaching the word against what they know is in the process of change. We have to speak again to the many promises lying dormant in our life. So what about your blueprint? Let me say this. He's saying this. It's not dormant, and you know this, but it's not dormant because God has made it dormant, but it's up to us. It's up to you and I to speak or to declare it alive. It's not dormant because God, as I said, made it dormant. Speak to that which the enemy has said is dead and say, live. We will not stop praying the mysteries in tongues, because while we are praying, you say, Pastor, I know this is very simple. Let me tell you again, we will not stop praying the mysteries in tongues, because while we are praying, our spirits are being taught the revelation knowledge of his word. Amen. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 2:12 says this, and 13 says, now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the spirit which is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. While we are praying the mysteries, our divine destiny also is being prayed out. Jim read this morning. This is one of our go-to scriptures around here. As we've said jokingly so many times, your Bible should fall open. It used to. I pray that it still does in a very powerful way. Romans 8:26 says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be articulated or uttered with our natural mind or language. And he that searches the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." The best part of your life is yet to be fulfilled. As long as you keep praying the mysteries, I'm telling you this, his divine purpose for your life is continually being set into effect. It's out in front of you. Hallelujah. Some of you, you're thinking, well, I've heard this before. How many of you like to hear it again? It's the change that we need. Listen, Proverbs 4:18 says, "But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." In other words, you're not the best that you've ever been. You're not the most spiritual that you'll ever be. You're not the most faith-filled that you'll ever be. The works that you're doing now, praise God for them, but there is a work in front of you that you will do. And as I said about Joel's army, it doesn't take away from authority. It doesn't level the playing field like there's no pastors, teachers, evangelists, but it's an equality. It's a ministry of equality that the whole church from the grassroots is being used. And that's what he intended from the very beginning. That's the Acts church. Hallelujah, we're getting closer. The enemy has tried to get us off the wall, but we will not be distracted. Now you can follow this or you can listen. And I'm not going into the whole story of it, it'd be too long. But in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 1, if you want to look. Nehemiah, of course, was sent back to rebuild the wall. This is coming in from the. This is after coming from the Babylonian exile. They're leaving. Certain ones were allowed to go back and begin to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. In Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we built or builded the wall, he was angry," or wroth, "and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren, the enemy of the Samaria, and said, 'What do these feeble Jews, will they fortify themselves, or will they sacrifice, or will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned?' Now Tobiah the Amorite was by him, and he said, 'Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their wall, their stone wall.'" Listen, we can't go into Nehemiah. That's a whole series. Jim's done some wonderful teaching on it. But listen, we are in a process in which the Holy Spirit is asking us to stand on the wall like never before. And if I can put it in context of standing on the wall, is prayer, staying in a fashion of prayer. Even if you don't consider yourself to ever have backed out of prayer, I'm telling you that the call of the present tense for us to receive, because there's never been, historically, there's never been an outpouring unless people prayed. And I'm not talking about windshield prayer. Windshield prayer does work, by the way, but I'm talking about you being in a private place of prayer and staying in prayer. Listen, we oftentimes, you've heard me say it, we've said it this week, we'll say it again because it's just, we're not demeaning. We've often said when you come to a conference, don't pray, you know, don't fast and don't get any rest. But listen, don't fast, okay? But pray as you go. Pray as you go, because we're in a constant place of wanting to receive something. This outpouring is present tense. But look what these guys said. These were Tobiah and Sanballat were, they were the ancestral, not ancestral, but ancestral cousins of Israel. They were the offspring of Lot. The whole story, it's not a good story. Won't go into it. After Lot left Sodom, after the two nights that followed, his two daughters that left with him got him drunk. His wife's a pillar of salt, of course. They got him drunk. He conceived by both his own daughters. They became the Amorites, the Moabites. And these two guys are there to mock the progress of what God is trying to do in the church, if you'll typify it in that sense of the word. And they're mocking them, and they say, look, their wall is so feeble that even if a fox runs on it, you know, the weight of a fox, a 3-pound fox, if a fox runs on it, it's going to crumble it. The enemy may be saying to you that what you have believed and what you have followed is so paper thin, it won't stand up. But I'm telling you that the foundation that we stand on is the Word of God, and it will stand up. This wall that we're building for the end time events, it's more than any fox can ever break down. It's more than any lion of this world, can any elephant of this world, anything that can stand against it, it will stand the test of time, because it's the Word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Nehemiah is also, many scholars will tell you, he typifies an essence, a picture of the Holy Spirit. He's sitting, the word says here in 10, verse 10, chapter 4, he says, and Judah said, the strength of the bearers of the burden is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we're not able to build the wall. And our adversaries said, they shall not know, neither shall they see, till they come, we come, or they come, we come in the midst among them, and slay them, and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them, they said unto us 10 times, in other words, it was repeated, this rhetoric was repeated over and over and over again, that we're going to slip in among you, we're going to destroy you, we're going to take away the hidden ones of the church, we're going to take away that which you're trying to do and destroy the foundations, in essence, making it pertinent to what we're saying this morning. And we're going to come from all places, verse 12 says, from whence shall return unto us, they will be upon you. Therefore, this is what Nehemiah said as a result or as a response to this rhetoric. Therefore, set I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places I even set people after their families, which with their swords, their spears, and their bows. Nehemiah typifies the Holy Spirit sitting in the damaged and broken down breaches of our wall. Nehemiah said this, the wall's being built. We're still in a process. The rhetoric is, it's so weak, it'll never stand up. But this is what Nehemiah, and this is how the Holy Spirit is. He's so wonderful. Whatever part, you've got, all of us have got strong parts of our life. And the plane of our wall may have been in those areas perfected in a certain sense according to the Word of God. And so we're real strong in those areas. But then there's certain places where there's a breach. There's certain places where that's not yet been perfected. It might not be blatant sin, but it's something that yet we're not yet perfected in. It's a quality of believing Him, or it's a idiosyncrasy that just doesn't allow the love of God to flow like it's supposed to be. It's a breach in your wall. But here's the beautiful part. If Nehemiah is a typification of who the Holy Spirit is, it's a wonderful. In the sense that Nehemiah said, while these things are still in progress, in the danger, I'll go and sit in those, I'll sit wherever the low places are at. I'll make up the hedge. That's how the Holy Spirit is. While we are being changed from glory to glory as he is praying through us, whatever yet is to be changed, he's making up the difference.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He's sitting in those low places. As I said, we are getting close. Nehemiah 4:14, and he says, I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and unto the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, your houses. As I said, you know, as we go this week, if we read through Nehemiah, and I don't have this in my notes, but if you read that, he was like, let's keep working. And as we're working, work with one hand and keep your sword and shield right there on your side. In other words, let's go forth and continue to pray, seek the Lord. I want to do something. This is not a child's game. We're going to have a little bit of fun, but it's not a child's game. I'm not doing this to be coy or just be funny. But in 1 Chronicles chapter 20, you know the story. I won't go into it, but that was the story of Jehoshaphat and that great army that came to him. And it was an insurmountable odds. I mean, there was, I don't know. I don't have any figures. But it was so much. It said that they covered, you know, they were like grasshoppers or they're like the sands of the sea. You know, and it was all these three different nations. I think it was Moab, Mount Seir. There's another one. Jim could tell you. But they covered the earth. And they came to him, reported to him in Jerusalem, they're coming to get us. Well, here's the story, and you know it. You know, they listened. They said, God, what do we do? Well, the prophecy was, one stood up and said, you don't need to fight in this battle. Stand still, let the Lord fight for you. And so the next day, and as you would well remember, that the next day that when they set the army forth to go out, because they're going out to meet them, the Lord said, set the praisers, the worshipers in front, and to worship. And the story was that once they got there and these worshipers were praising in front of the army, that then when they got to the watchtower or the place of where they could actually view into the camp of the enemy, they found them that they were all dead corpses, maybe hundreds of thousands, I don't know. But it was an incredible victory. Hope was restored to Israel. The spoils that they took away was incredible. But it was the acclamation of what they said. It was what they believed, and they spoke it. And because what they were speaking as in praise to the Lord set into effect the spiritual things that moved God into a position to take care of everything in front of them. One of the things that they said, or the thing that they did say, was, and I have this in my notes, I'm going to read it so I don't botch it up. It actually was, there are a few, there's about three or four, what I found, antiphonal psalms. In other words, antiphonal means one choir would sing it to another. And they would say it or sing it and speak it, and the other part of the choir in the house or wherever they were at would say it back or say the other part of it. Now that day, their instruction that day was to speak the antiphonal psalm that David had previously, maybe hundreds of years earlier, written. One of those is Psalms 136, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. This antiphonal declaration brought hope into the hearts of the people and destroyed the enemy. So let's declare this, and let's all stand. No, I'm sorry. Let me give this. Let me do it like this. This is real simple. I know it's simple, but we're going to go out of here declaring. Okay, now I would like these two sections Okay, these two sections. Wave at me. Okay, good. You're so beautiful. So handsome and look so good. All I want you to say on the count of three, not right now, is to repeat this antiphonal. This is what the praisers were saying when they went out in front of this army. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Can you say that? Not you guys, okay? These guys. Wonderful. Now, an antiphonal, we have to have another side of that. So I'm going to look at these beautiful folks over here, okay? And the other thing that they would say in this, you said, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good and his mercy endures forever. Can you say that?
He is good and his mercy endures forever.
Man, they're real good, aren't they? All I want you middle section to do, I make yours as real easy as possible, is to say the concluding amen. Can you say that?
Amen.
See, that's real simple. Now, did you remember what I asked you? Okay, what was it? Okay, and yours?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, I know this sounds like kid stuff. This actually, antiphonal, killed thousands when it was spoken in faith. This antiphonal actually destroyed the work and the argument of the enemy of fear because it was spoken in faith. On the count of three, I want, now some of you can't, it's harder for you to stand up, it's okay, but on the count of three, I'd like for you to stand up, repeat your part of the antiphonal, and then I'll look to you, and you've got to beat them, okay? And yours is real hard, okay? When I looked, one, two, three. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! You did real good, okay? You did real good, real good. Can we try it just, can we try it one more time? Okay, one, two, three.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good and his mercy endures forever. Amen.
Woo! Hallelujah. Okay, I promise this is the last time. But when you stand this time, I want you to lift your hands like you're on a roller coaster and say it with everything you got in you. One, two, three.
Oh, give thanks.
Keep those hands up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, bless the Lord. Amen. I want you to get some exercise so you go out and eat real good. Listen, Nehemiah said in chapter 8, verse 10, he said, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet. And send portions to them for whom nothing is prepared for this. He said, sorrow not, for this day is holy unto the Lord. Hallelujah. This day is holy. Amen. It's a day of joy. It's a day of destiny. It's a day of purpose. Hallelujah.